You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, Grouped Organic Retro Processing Data Intelligence Engine. It's an acronym.
Is it?
Finally, we know what you are.
It's an acronym.com. That reveals my true nature.
So now that we understand Gordy, let's understand folklore.
That's the goal, I guess.
By understand folklore, we mean smash it together into something new. We're going to make folklore into our thing.
We're going to make folklore out of some folklore. Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale or piece of folklore to me and Tyler. We've never heard it before. Hopefully some of you have never heard it before. And we're going to transform it into something new by fixing its plot holes and searching for unintended connections to other stories.
Yeah, we don't seek to understand folklore on folklore's turf. We intend to drag folklore kicking and screaming to our turf and beat it into a shape we like.
Here's the thing about folklore. It's different with every retelling.
That's certainly true.
And sometimes it gets basketballsmen put into it because that's just how you feel that night.
It is very entertaining for me to sit here and watch the two of you each week come up with a new way to try and lash our premise to the wagon.
What do you mean?
Like, it is always a slightly different description of what we're about to do. You have not yet found the one that you're satisfied with.
We're circling in on it.
This show has many layers, many features. We're not going to be able to pin it down into one phrase.
We've just been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah, so it's a weird one to pitch, kind of.
Is it?
Is it? Yeah, a little. We're going to read a weird fairy tale. I mean, that's the basis here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to goof it up.
We're going to tell jokes.
Tyler, I believe we have an executive producer for this particular goof-em-ups.
We do. This week's episode is brought to you by Chrissy, a.k.a. Arn Thompson Type, 1916, The Breathing Tree.
Ooh.
A breathing tree.
Yes.
What's the relation to the giving tree?
Brothers.
Okay.
Brotheros.
This one is like the giving tree, but instead of being codependent and self-sacrificing, it's just very zen.
Yes.
We were sharing some one-star reviews of different books on our patron-only Discord server. Look that up. and somebody posted a one-star review of the giving tree, and this person was very upset that it was a very dependent-ass tree.
That was the review?
It was part of it.
Yeah, they wanted the tree to get some boundaries.
I think I could find the full text.
And there was a second review
want.
That was really mad about its like corollary to motherhood, and that it teaches kids to like selfishly continue eating their moms. See, we touch on all literature in this show. How are we supposed to pitch this?
That's true.
In a concise and glorious way.
The times that the giving tree, J.K. Rowling, and Pokemon come up, it is very hard to nail down exactly what we do here.
Yeah, all right, let's get to it.
So we have two choices.
Yeah, you got,
I remember.
You're down to a 50-50 option. You could even flip a coin for this one if you wanted to.
I'm not going to.
Do either of you remember what your choices are?
Yes, the one that we're going to read, which is the Dragon Princess, because we should have picked it last time, but Gordy talked me out of it, and I'm upset.
Oh, is that the way we're going? Because the other one's the 12 turtles.
Yes.
Tortoises, but wow, I am impressed.
We've talked about this before. They're the same animal. they're interchangeable.
And maybe quacks.
And
undecided.
And unclear where they fit into.
They're in the water and they have beaks.
Unclear
Fight
where they
me
fit
about it.
Into our restructured animal kingdom. What is it about this dragon prince that has you?
Princess.
Or princess.
Right?
Yes, princess.
Again, interchangeable.
Same animal.
Exactly the same thing. We don't know how this...
Which is N,
We don't know how this character identifies.
I forgot where humans fit. Is it not animal?
It might be not an animal.
Or was
it
vampires?
I don't know why you're assuming.
Did you forget vampires?
Yes. But also just like, are humans vampires? Is that how we did
not
this?
Not really. What is it about the dragon princess?
Dragons.
Yeah.
Better than turtles.
Yeah, maybe.
No, yes.
But there's 12 of them.
I would watch that fight.
Maybe that's what we're going to get, though.
But this...
Okay,
I need to stick to my guns this time, because this is the fucking snake talk you did last time that gave me like 600 Stuart Littles.
What can you tell us a detail about each story?
What kind of detail do you want?
A verb.
Okay. A verb is good.
All right, do you want like first verb or middle verb?
Middle verb.
I want a verb that characterizes the story.
I'm not giving you that.
I feel like we'll get closer to that in the middle when things are happening.
Okay, chopping for the 12 tortoises.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Chopping's a good verb.
That sounds like soup to me.
Fetched for the dragon princess, which has surprisingly few action words in it.
Does that change anything for you?
I mean, it sounds boring if there's few action words.
Here's the thing. I'll sign on to dragon princess.
Yeah.
If that's what you feel like you want. All I'm going to say is all these are going to do us dirty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, eventually.
in one way or another.
I'm torn again.
So now it's if you want a dragon princess, I'll do dragon princess.
Let's do that one. Let's do that one.
I mean, fetched.
Because if it's bad, then at least hopefully 12 turtles will be good next week.
No, but we can hope. Okay, so dragon princess.
Wait, where are they from? We should have asked that. That's important.
A dragon princess is from China.
Mmm.
And the 12 tortoises are Bavarian tale.
Dragon.
Okay.
Sticking to it.
Okay. Dragon it is.
Okay. So the Dragon Princess is a Chinese tale sourced from worldoftales.com, and they sourced it from the Chinese fairy book edited by Dr. R. Wilhelm in 1921. And this was suggested to us by Tally. Thank you, Tally.
Thank you, Tally.
Thank you.
All right. You two ready to get started?
Let's go to China.
We got a couple segments we need to do.
Yes.
We got a boat watch.
I have a new segment. That I'd like to introduce, which is, how about Bavaria?
What does this segment entail?
Just regret.
It's just in a part of the world that's usually pretty good to us.
But that's to my point for it being good next week.
Okay. Yeah, all right. We gotta
save our dessert.
We have one segment. Hi, welcome to Boat Watch. Ba-da-ba-ba-bum.
Wow.
Theme song.
That's a very Smash Mouth introduction to Boat Watch.
A monotone McDonald's jingle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Boat Watch is.
That is the equivalent of Smash Mouth music, I think.
Boat, 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 boat.
Boat, 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 boat.
Boat Watch.
We're boating it. A segment in which... Which remembers, harkens back to a time where once I guessed correctly that there would be a boat later in the story, and in an attempt to recreate that rush, here we are.
Even if the McDonald's Corporation could and would sue us for that, I would be fine, because it means that boat, 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 we're boating it, would have to be read in a court of law.
I'd be happy to attend that lawsuit hearing. Also, all press is good press, right?
Yeah, absolutely. More people will find out about our ARG that way.
To that, tell a friend, please. To that end, before you find out the results of the Boat Watch prediction, tell a friend about the show if you like it. You can do it right now. And if you don't, then... This one's not for you. Stop listening.
And if you do, treat yourself to a nice t-shirt from WTFolklorePodcast.com.
treat yourself, God.
This is a new self-aggrandizing segment of the folklore show.
Look, the Max Fun Drive just ended and I'm very jealous.
So this is the...
You're jized to move product
this
now.
This is the Min Folk Drive.
The what?
The men folk drive. We're minimum and we're folklore instead of fun.
Oh, I thought you said men folk.
Yeah, I was confused as well.
Well, two out of three, but...
I did forget I was a lady, like, last week, I think. I don't know.
This is
you
distracting.
You did invent a ladier voice.
This is distracting from my point.
What is your point?
I have the floor.
Yeah.
Boat Watch.
Reclaim your time.
China. Dragon Princess says air to me, mm-hmm. not necessarily a boat. And we've established
that there's all of these rules about what a boat is
or isn't. And so if I'm going to be
not a boat,
if I'm going to be real strict by that definition, I'm going to say it's not looking too good. So no.
Okay.
No boat in
locking
this story.
We also gave a challenge in the Patreon bonus episode this week to bring Quack Frog into main canon. So I'm going to issue that challenge to you too.
Yeah, if you're at the $10 or up, you got a bonus episode, and it involves a character named Dr. Quack Frog that we really like.
So we gotta make him real. All right, so Dragon Princess, China. Music goes here. In the Sea of Dungting.
Damn it. Damn it, Cordy.
The what? What?
You want to run that by him again?
All right. First four words again. In the Sea of Dungting.
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch it. We're just going to have to move on.
There is a hill. And in the hill, there is a hole. And in this hole, like there's stuff that's so deep that it has no bottom.
See, we're going underground now.
Once a fisherman was passing by there.
Fuck.
In what?
Not,
a raft?
Not clear. Slipped and fell into the hole.
Huh.
So he's on the hill somehow. To
skiing
slip.
On dolphins.
Yeah, sure.
Skiing, water skiing.
Extreme fishing.
But he's in a hole now, so he's on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's not anything.
He falls into the hole with no bottom, except it has a country in it. So that's kind of like
a
bottom.
That's something also. Is it
Dumpling Town?
One? Yeah.
As the old woman who followed a dumpling into like Oni Kingdom?
Yeah. Or is it Space Jam?
Or Space Jam.
Close neighbors.
What is it when we always bring up Space Jam?
Japanese Tales?
Is it? Is that it? I think it's in Japanese stories that we
the
like.
The dumpling one was Japanese, right?
But this one's Chinese.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So we came to a country full of winding ways, which led over hill and dale for several miles. So I guess he wanders these winding ways. Again, this story kind of lacks the action words. It just kind of takes us from point to point.
I mean, what else was he going to do? He's in a hole.
It's a bullet point kind of story, but written as words.
He can't get back out, I assume, because the hole's in the sky.
So finally, in his apparent wandering, he reaches a dragon castle lying in a great plain where grew a green slime which reached to his knees.
Like a cube?
Just like
some
slime.
Kind of jelly
is like
cube.
Is it like a jelly moat?
Yes.
Mm.
We're looking at like a lime jello moat.
I could go for some jello.
I could go for, my throat hurts from sickness. I could go for some jello.
Jello massages your throat on the way down.
It does. Are we going for jello after this?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure where you procured jello.
Target.
Grocery.
That's not a grocery store, which might be closed.
Target. And
yeah,
Kroger
maybe.
Doesn't close.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
If you mix every flavor of Jell-O together, like let's say, quick aside, let's say you're like 20 and your friends are also like 20 and you're in college and you go to the store and you see the Jell-O and then you think, what would happen if we bought like 18 flavors and put them all in a big pot?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is it turns out black and it's delicious.
Whoa.
So you got the powdered gelatin kind and just made it yourself?
I guess. That sounds right. I remember eating black Jell-O at the end of the day and it was good.
All right. Life hack. Let us know how it goes. So he, I guess, sloshes through this Jell-O to the gate of the castle, which is guarded by a dragon who spouted water that dispersed into a fine mist, I guess, as a hobby.
It's a water dragon.
Mist dragon.
Instead of fire.
Within the gate was a small hornless dragon who raised his head, showed his claws, and would not let the fishermen in. Like,
just little swipes.
Yeah, like, no. Like when Cricket doesn't want her fur brushed anymore.
Yes.
Little cat swipes.
So this was frightening enough to the fisherman that he, instead of like pushing forward or anything, spends several days in, it says the cave, which I assume they mean the hole in the ground.
Or is it a new place entirely?
Or maybe a new place entirely. Again, this story is like, if you switch all of these sentences to bullet points, it would not change
the cadence.
Right. Which is what I did. So he's satisfying his hunger with the green slime, which tasted like rice mush. So it's the worst flavor of Jell-O. I can't imagine slimy, like eating slime and it just tastes like mush rice because rice doesn't
have... What did your Jell-O taste like? Your ichor Jell-O?
Enlightenment.
It tasted like the true name of a bear.
And fruit. Enlightenment and fruit.
Gordy transcended that day.
Here's my other food tip. You make some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that pot of coffee. You pour it back into the coffee maker. You make another pot of coffee using the coffee as the water. And you drink what comes out of it. And you'll... It's real good. It's a good pick-me-up. If you just kind of need to like... see sounds for the rest of the day. It's pretty good.
Please don't use my coffee maker.
It's called Coffee Squared. credit to Delicia Williams.
All right, so he eats this rice mush Jell-O until he finds his way out again of the hole, I assume. But again, we're very
back
unclear.
To the sea.
Hole, yes. What?
He fell in a hole.
To this dragon land.
But he's back?
Yeah, he ate enough Jell-O that he was able to get out.
You know.
Like you do.
Okay.
I think number one fix to the story is some action words.
Well, he ate 20 Jell-O, which is what his quest log said, and then he got a cutscene, so he got back out to the sea.
Yeah.
So he goes to the district mandarin and tells him what happened, because I guess you gotta report this to the cops or somebody.
Hey, I saw dragons. wild Jell-O down there.
And this Mandarin reported it to the Emperor.
I'm definitely not sea crazy from being out at sea for so long.
I just ate dragon Jell-O and I'm fine.
Just ate some dragon Jell-O, bro.
You'd
like to know.
Go tell the Emperor, which is what this guy does. So he reports it to the Emperor, and the Emperor sends for a wise man to give advice about this. Dragon,
about what to do with the information.
Yeah, Dragon Jell-O Kingdom exists. What do I do, Sage?
Strange that this wise man is not on hand.
I mean, he might be in another room and the Emperor's still going to send for him. He doesn't want to walk.
Oh, I mean, like, sent from another part of the palace?
Who knows?
Because I read it as, like, sent from another part of the country.
I mean, he could have come from a whole other country, or he could have come from the dining room. We don't know.
Area 51 is where the aliens are that only presidents get to know about, right?
Yeah.
What area is Dragon Jell-O Town?
63.
That low, huh?
Oh, there's an
They're
older
that close
area.
Together.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The areas aren't numbered by geographic nature.
No, I just assumed it would be threat level.
Hmm. I mean, they
and
got...
And that little dragon was swiping.
He was swiping, but he swipes like cricket swipes, and that's a low threat level. Plus, the Jell-O kind of lowers it a bit.
Dampens the blows.
Yeah, like, you might get intimidated by a dragon, but you're going to have tasty Jell-O. It's going to taste like rice. That doesn't sound good to me.
And it's just kind of constantly misting.
Yes. Well, just the one dragon. That's what he... That's him, he's just vaping. So the wise man comes and says, there are four paths to this cave, which is why I think the cave is the hole in the ground.
The wise man knew about it.
Yeah, he knows a lot about it.
Well, he's wise. I should have known that.
One path leads to the southwest shore of the Sea of Dungting. The second path leads to the valley in the land of the four rivers. The third ends in the cave on the mountain of Lufu. And the fourth on the island of the Eastern Sea. Don't think any of this is relevant. But in that cave... dwells the seventh daughter of the Dragon King of the Eastern Sea, and she's in charge of guarding his pearls and his treasure. I hope you're really good at keeping track of minutia, because that's this entire story.
Nope.
All right. So, once in ancient days, a fisher boy brought up a pearl from beneath the chin of a black dragon.
Not yet a fisherman.
Yeah, he was just a fisher boy.
A mere fisher boy.
A fisher lad. This dragon was asleep, and that's why the fisher boy got away with grabbing a pearl from it. But the treasure was guarded. But the treasure that is guarded by the daughter of the Dragon King has millions of such jewels and is watched over by thousands of small dragons.
All of them swiping.
Okay, so help me make sense of this phrase.
Yes.
Which might be like a translation thing. They have the peculiarity of fighting shy of wax.
How do you spell shy?
S-H-Y.
They have the peculiarity...
Yes.
Of fighting.
Yes.
Shy of wax.
Yes.
No.
Okay. That was my thing, too.
Returns nothing.
From context clues later, dragons afraid of wax.
Okay.
They don't like it.
Okay.
So wax is a no-go.
Yeah, I'm trying to make that sentence say that in my head.
I don't. Yeah. I am assuming there's like some kind of translation thing from the 1920s. Chinese to English, or maybe Chinese to another language to English. It just, this was an untranslatable phrase.
What I've cooked up so far is that peculiarity of fighting shy of wax is they've got this weird thing about them where they're dangerous as long as wax isn't around.
Right, so they have the peculiarity of fighting
shy of wax.
And then shy of wax, so except for wax.
Yes.
So they'll fight everything that isn't wax.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think that's the best way to read that. They are fond of jade, kungsing, the hollow green wood, and they also enjoy eating swallows.
Swallows known to not be full of wax.
Who doesn't like it?
I mean, can we do a Trojan swallow?
Swallows are basically chicken.
Big Trojan swallow.
Swallows are already hollow, right?
Is that what they make in A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Yes.
A Trojan swallow.
Pretty much.
It's a Trojan... like chickadee or something, but yeah, same idea. All right, so if you send a messenger, emperor is the you, if you, the emperor, send a messenger with a letter, it might be possible to obtain some precious pearls.
To what end?
Having them.
Wait, sent a letter?
Yeah, to the dragon princess.
To what? Is that, can you do that?
Do you have a postal service?
Do we? Barely.
Maybe theirs is better.
But I mean, even if you can get the letter there, is just asking enough? Like, hey, can I have some of your treasure, dragon princess?
You have an awful lot of treasure, dragon princess.
Probably no, right? Like, I could write letters to all kinds of people asking for their money or treasure.
Look, Gordy.
Is this a grant?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
This
Maybe
is
you
true.
Should be writing letters to random people asking for treasure.
I mean, this is what a grant is, right? It's a letter that you write asking for their treasure. You just have to say what you're going to use it for.
I'm going to show TV to sheep. Can I have your treasure?
What if my grant is I want to study the effects of not having to go to work? On the human body over a period of like 60 years.
I want to start feeding that ichor jello to animals. We got to see what that does.
I think we need to eat the ichor jello first. I want to know if 30
I'm last on the list.
I want to know if 30-year-old Gordy enjoys ichor jello as much as 20-year-old Gordy.
It was good. You got to get a lot of flavors though. Probably in the right combination too.
It's like potion making.
Like I wish I could remember... like how many
and
limes,
what quantity.
Like limes and strawberries and whatevers we put in there.
All right, so the emperor likes the sound of obtaining precious pearls, and he announces a reward for a man competent enough to go to the dragon castle carrying a letter. So we're hiring a postal service.
Who is the man? Fisherman?
The first man was named So Pilo.
Are we done with the fisherman?
I think so.
Yeah, the fisherman's done.
Okay.
But unfortunately, this... man had a great 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 grandfather who once slew more than 100 dragons. So the wise man says, yeah, the dragons are enemies of your entire family and you can't go. So he goes home sad.
That sounds like a cool story though that we could have done.
Yeah, with action words
like,
in it.
Well, no, like a guy who reconciles with dragons for what his family has done to them.
Yeah, that would also be cool, but would require action words and not hiring a postal service.
Reparations.
To ask for pearls for reasons.
Did that first bit matter?
No.
Because we're not even going back to that place.
Yeah, we're taking a different path. The jello doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sometimes I get like a little tingle in the back of my head early on in these that just kind of whispers that none of this is going to matter in like 20 minutes.
I mean, in the grand scheme, none of it matters at all.
Right.
I guess it's just nice to know it.
Right.
For this brief amount of time that I do.
You do have a look of buyer's remorse on your face right now.
I'm trying to find something.
Then came a man from Canton, Lo Tsai Sun, with his brothers. And he said, well, my ancestors were related to the Dragon King, Lucky Break.
Is he lying?
And they were both liked, this family is liked by and well known to the dragons. They still come to, like, family reunions, the occasional graduation and wedding.
It is curious to me that they're finding a lot of people who have some kind of relationship to these dragons
mm-hmm.
that they barely knew existed.
Well, the king barely knew they existed.
Yeah.
It seemed.
Like, why does everyone but the emperor know about dragons? It's like the opposite of Area 51.
Look, three people but the emperor know about dragons so far. Four if you count the fishermen who fell into them.
Right, but they're all the people that they've found to do this messenger business.
I mean, they probably put up needs dragon experience on Craigslist/Indeed.
3 years dragon experience.
So all the like rice farmers were like, oh man, not me. Damn it.
All I do is rice. I have 80 years rice experience.
None of it's Jell-O rice.
Dragons.
All in on rice, huh? You know, and in that part of the world, it's a good specialty.
All right, so the wise man.
Which I mean to say, that's where rice farming happens.
Yes.
So this whole story is like listening to a cryptic conversation between two people who know each other really well and don't have to, like, give backstory for anything.
So it's this podcast.
Kind of. But you just met them yesterday, and they ask you to come out to Popeyes with them, but they're spending the whole time telling you about dumb shit that only they know.
So it's a new listener of the podcast.
Right, it's that experience, but for us listening to the story. So the wise man asks this fellow and his brothers if they still have the stone that compels dragons to do their will. Because, of course, they had it at one point. Do you still? That stone.
Come in handy, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the brothers say, yeah, we remembered to pack it.
Good.
We brought it with us.
It will come in handy with the dragons.
So the wise man asks to see the stone, and then when he does, he says, sorry guys, this one's only obeyed by dragons that make clouds and rain. Not for Pearl Guard dragons.
How do you know?
Works on some dragon types, not
wise.
Others.
Is it pictures?
Yeah.
On the
it's
stone?
It's got a user manual.
This is some kind of Pokeball. And the dragon are the Pokemon, but they're different types. And that's as far as I've gone with my metaphor. I'm not prepared to go further at this stage.
So he's like, your garbage stone is worthless for this task. Do you still have the dragon brain vapor?
The what now?
The dragon brain vapor.
The dragon brain vapor.
Yes, dragon
is that
hyphen
like brain mist?
Dragon hyphen brain vapor. Yeah, I guess. I think it's drugs. they say, well, no, we don't have that. And he says, well, how do you expect to compel dragons to yield their treasure without it? You noobs. This interview is not going well.
You made the comparison of, like, talking or listening to two people who know each other really well have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this sounds like somebody stumbling into a Reddit thread for game tips.
Like, if you're just starting.
Yeah, like, someone, you ask a basic question like, hey, how do I get the dragon pearls? And they're like, well, do you have the dragon brain vapor? And you're like, no. They're like, well, how did you expect to get it then? I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's like, someone just tell me, like, please tell me what I need to do next.
Start at step one, please.
So the emperor is like, oh no, what now? We don't have the dragon brain vapor. And the wise man's like, chill. There are foreign merchants on the Western Ocean who deal in dragon brain vapor. That's their whole business.
Oh, good.
And I also know a holy man adept.
Upvote that one.
I know a holy man who is adept at taming dragons. And he has 10 pounds of dragon stone.
Okay.
So we just gotta send for those. We just gotta, like, Amazon Prime it from these two places.
You got your quests now.
Are these pearls really worth all of this? This is a to-do now.
You're going to find out. Yeah,
this is like you take a quest and suddenly it becomes several quests and like it's already kind of a side thing. You're like, do I really want to get into all this? Maybe I just want to keep going with the main.
This is a chivo I say no thanks to.
Reading this story feels like working in an office. All right, so they get those things after several months because Amazon Prime hasn't actually been invented yet. So the emperor has jewelers carve boxes out of his finest jade and polish them up with the ash of a wutong tree. He makes an essence of hollow green wood. He pastes it with sea fish lime for reasons, hardens it in the fire, and then uses that mixture to make two vases.
What is the dragon brain vapor?
We don't know, but we have some now.
Is it in the vase?
So he
one
takes,
of the vases. He vases. Takes
these, okay, so these three guys, I guess, got the job as messengers because no one else came for that application.
Yeah.
So they cover the bodies and clothes of the messengers with tree wax and give them 500 roasted swallows to take with them in addition to this, these jade boxes and vases.
Pretty good.
Do they like them pre-roasted or is that insulting?
They like that raw shit.
They like to cook it with their own innards fire.
With their inside fires.
Well, these are like water dragons, I guess.
Are they all water dragons?
One of them is. The other one is like ineffective cricket dragon.
There's many types.
We've yet to see fire dragon. So the messengers went to the cave and they got to the dragon castle. And none of that is a story worth telling. We're just going to bullet point that. And the smell of the tree wax causes the guard dragon to crouch down and do them no harm. Fucking hate this tree wax. So they bribe the guard with 100 roasted swallows and he admits them to the dragon princess and then immediately gets fired probably because that's a shit guard job you just did there.
What was he supposed to do? They're covered in wax. They did their homework.
They bribed him and he took the bribe and was like, all right, I guess I will take you directly to our sovereign leader.
She doesn't need to know that though. They just have to be in waxed.
So they offer her the jade boxes, the vases, and the remaining 400 swallows.
Mm-hmm.
She receives these gifts graciously, and they read the emperor's letter with the help of a dragon who's over 1,000 years old, is capable of turning into a human, and could understand their language, which these other dragons, I guess, couldn't, but they understand swallows and just assume what you want.
I mean, swallows talk, man.
It gets around.
So he translates the letter. And the dragon princess learns that the emperor is sending her these gifts. And so she sends them back with a gift of 3 great pearls, 7 smaller pearls, and a bushel of ordinary pearls.
A bushel?
Yes. Not a peck, though. Just a bushel.
What's a bushel of pearls? Like a bag?
Sure, yeah.
With pearls inside?
It's a measurement, like a weight measurement, I think.
A Pandora of pearls.
So we're going to, I guess, skip to the emperor part and none of the rest of it, because the next thing is that the emperor is pleased by this.
Okay.
So I guess they show back up at the palace.
No problem.
With all of their pearls. A wise man.
I like that the adventure bits are footnotes.
Yes. Also, the dragon princess bit is a bit of a footnote.
What we get is like an inventory log of all the shit.
Yeah, we do.
And then adventure happens in between, counting things.
So you ready for some more inventory?
Count things to me.
The emperor shows the pearls to the wise man, and the wise man says, one of the big pearls is a divine wishing pearl of the 3rd class. Two of them.
What?
It's a divine wishing pearl of the 3rd class.
How many classes are there of wishing pearls?
At least 3.
This is like reading a D&D source book. At this is like looking at a character's, like a character sheet.
Right. But you're not entirely sure what the system is. 2 of them are black dragon pearls of medium quality. She's not going to give you her best.
No.
She just kind of like grabbed a handful from the ground.
Not for 400 swallows. Are you fucking kidding me?
Street price on those? 800. Easy. Easy 800 swallows.
It's an insult.
2 of the 7 smaller pearls are serpent pearls, and the rest are muscle pearls.
So bad?
Just different animal pearls.
But, like, I can get...
This is starting to sound like a TCG.
The The remaining pearls are sea crane pearls, snail pearls, and oyster pearls.
Wait.
Only two of these make any sense.
Most of those don't make pearls. Does anything other than an oyster make a pearl?
I mean, mussels might.
Mussels might. Here's the thing. I can go get oyster and mussel pearls myself. I can go into the water and just pick them out.
These are not as valuable as the big divine wishing pearl or the black dragon pearls.
No,
but very few would equal them on this earth. So they're still pretty high quality.
For human shit.
Yeah.
Just like regular ass necklaces.
So the emperor is excited and is showing them off to everyone, his servants and stuff.
Look at my dragon things.
And they think that the wise man's full of bullshit and that these are just regular pearls.
It could go either way, right?
If it makes the king happy, like, if it's going to get him to drop this, I think you just tell him, like, that's what the wise man's doing. He's just saying, like, oh, yeah, your majesty, this is a class 3 dragon, like, black dragon wishing pearl. You got a good one.
You got to open 50 booster packs for this one.
That's a mythic rare pearl.
That's a rarity 8.
It's a holographic pearl.
You did good. We can stop now, please.
We can go back to our daily business now, huh?
Can we run the kingdom? You got your shinies. Can we run the kingdom? So the wise man, in response to this, spews even more pearl knowledge. The wishing pearl has a radiance of 10 miles, and neither wind, rain, nor thunder, lightning, water, fire, or weapons can reach within. I like to think that the emperor's armory has just been shunted out 10 miles away from his palace. The black dragon pearls are 9 colored, so more than black, and they glow at night, which is a weird thing for a black pearl. And within their glow, snake poison is powerless, so that's good.
Wait, they just have immunity to poison?
Snake poison, specifically.
Snake poison.
The serpent pearls are 7 colored, and the mussel pearls are 5 colored, and both of them also shine at night. That's it. They're just
some good mussels.
No bonus attributes.
Yeah,
on
they just glow. They're just pretty.
Keep you awake.
So some common rube asks how a serpent pearl or a sea crane pearl could even be told apart from a fucking oyster pearl, and the wise man says, the animals recognize them.
The wise man says, kill this man.
The wise man says, like, the wise man is just starting to get the king to believe him, and some wise ass in the crowd is like, how do you know the difference?
So the emperor takes 1 serpent pearl and 1 sea crane pearl and puts them in a bushel of ordinary pearls and dumps them in the courtyard. I like that there's nothing else for this man to be doing right now.
It's a slow day, I guess.
The emperor?
So they fetch from somewhere a large yellow serpent and a black crane, and I like to imagine a servant trying to, like, carry a crane, which is not a small bird, into this courtyard.
Not a wieldy bird, either, to carry in one's arms.
No, and probably a protesting bird.
Yeah, I assume this one is uncooked.
Yeah, I don't think they're that complacent about being held. So they grab these creatures from wherever they keep them and shove them in the courtyard and near the pearls. So the crane immediately picks up the sea crane pearl in its bill and dances around like an idiot. And the serpent winds around the serpent pearl. And the people were like, all right, maybe this wise man's not full of bullshit. Look at these animals being weird about these rocks.
Okay.
Did they have little cards facing away from the pearls that only they could see, like the Great British Bake Off?
Maybe.
So that I'm just asking that the serpent couldn't see, like,
a regular-ass pearl?
The one that is labeled serpent pearl ahead of time.
Oh, you think the animals are cheating?
Yes. I want to make sure they're not.
Because they have a vested interest in this.
Well, they are owned by the emperor.
I guess so.
Apparently.
I don't know if they ever get these pearls back from the animals either. Because we just kind of skip to the next.
There are ways.
We skip to the next bit from this. Everyone's like, the wise man knows what he's talking about. Next. So while they were in the dragon castle, you know, back at the adventure time.
Is it a flashback?
Sort of. It's more just like information they didn't feel like telling you at the time.
It's a sidequel.
the messengers had enjoyed some dainty fare that tasted like flowers, herbs, ointment and sugar. This doesn't sound good. I don't want to eat dainty fare that tastes like ointment.
What kind of ointment?
Any kind.
What are the good kinds of ointment to eat,
yeah,
please?
Have you ever eaten a good ointment?
Apple.
Apple ointment?
That's not, no,
that's
Tyler.
That's apple sauce.
It's not what my mom said.
Tyler.
I mean, applesauce is good for you, I think.
I'm thinking you're maybe not a wise man, and I'm calling bullshit.
Gravy.
I could go for some applesauce, too.
Gravy is an ointment.
We're going to go straight for, like, tonsillitis recovery foods after this episode is over. That's the theme of this one. Okay, so they'd eaten these ointment pastries or whatever, and they'd brought a remnant of it, because leftovers. But when it was exposed to the air, it turned hard as stone. So the emperor also takes these fragments of the messenger's food leftovers and puts them in the treasury. And he rewards the three brothers who did the messengering with high rank and titles, and gives them a present of 1,000 rolls of fine silk stuff.
Which cool.
I'm sure is valuable. Less valuable than maybe like just money they can spend now.
And dragon leftovers.
Yeah. Like some of the pearls, maybe. So they also decided to investigate why the fisherman hadn't been destroyed by the dragons immediately. Turns out his fishing clothes had been soaked in oil and tree wax, so that was all fine and there are no plot holes.
Just happened to be.
Yeah.
Was the boat... Oh, I said the bad word.
There wasn't one.
Was the vessel...
There was not one specified.
No, was the vessel that the fisherman was upon...
Could've
was it
anything.
Just a hollowed out tree?
That filled with oil that he
lied in the center of like a coffin.
Could have been
he
anything out
really
there.
He's having a really rough fisher day. That's also the end of the story, is them plugging the fisherman plot hole.
Oh.
That anyone cared about.
Yeah, because you were concerned why the dragons wouldn't have just eaten him.
I think it just introduced a plot hole because that one scrappy little dragon was willing to fight anyway.
Yeah, he didn't like hunker down or anything. He just...
did swipes.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a lot of tree wax. Maybe he just got like some on his
just
knee.
Just a swipeable amount.
Right. So how do you feel about your choice, Tyler? Are you glad you stuck up for it?
I now know a lot about dragon pearls.
I mean, including that there are such things as dragon pearls.
And that they have, like, a fucking...
stat blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, types and abilities.
I want to know more about those and, like, what games these wise men play with them. Like marbles or something.
Marbles, Mancala, checkers, dragon checkers.
Dragon checkers.
Like, this was at its core a boring story about an emperor getting paid.
Yeah. I guess it is a story.
I mean, things happened.
I was going to ask, does it count as a story? But there is events. Like, there is plot.
There's just more stats than plot.
Yeah, and in sort of a loose conception, yes, there is... there are events happening, and more or less they happen one at a time.
It's like if Gordy told us a story about going to a Netrunner tournament, and like the interesting part of the story would be his interactions with the other people for us, but he kept interrupting, like that was a minor part of his story, and kept interrupting it to tell us like very specific memorized card stats.
Just cool new cards.
Cool new cards. It's my brand.
And not connect them to each other or anything.
No, they're just there.
Yeah, he just like interrupts himself to list them out for a little bit and then gets back to the less important part of the story, which is the part where stuff happens.
As a service I can provide.
You can recreate the experience of this story right here, right now.
Just name random stats. Sure. I won't, but I could.
So previously in our canon, we've encountered underground town before.
At least one, yeah. In Japan, which is not the same, but it's like geographically close enough that like a whole underground kingdom might might be underneath both Japan and China.
Well, I presume that there's a whole other world under the world.
Yeah, and it seems to have specific countries. We've got dragon country, oni country, fairy country, demon country, bony country.
Yeah.
So we do seem to have an entire planet underneath the planet.
Okay, yeah.
Was Artemis Fowl right? Is that a true book?
Yes.
Is my question.
They go to the place where dumplings go, and that's where fairies and stuff live, and they yes. have magic and technology, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I read Artemis Fowl. I think it's a true book, yes, based on this evidence we've just uncovered. Wasn't there one where he was trying to steal a dragon pearl or get a dragon pearl?
Maybe.
I don't remember that. There was a cube.
Yeah, I remember, like, the data cube.
It's the same thing. That is a dragon pearl.
It's a
class 5 information dragon pearl.
Can we glean any information about what Boney is up to based on this new intelligence?
Immortal Boney?
That there are underground magic countries. Is it a big old game of Risk?
Are they, like, all vying with each other for control of above-ground countries?
Is that where magic went?
I think in a long discussion that we had in the Discord, and maybe a little bit on here, the Unseelie Court, the Underground Court of Fairies, broke off of the regular Court of Fairies.
The Uptown Fairies.
Wait, no, we did do that in reverse, where, like, the tree is underground.
Yes.
What tree?
The golden apple tree, the tree of magic.
If you're new here, this is building on stuff from previous episodes. You're just there's some backstory here.
There's not a lot of meat in this story, so we're now going to talk about other stories. So the tree of the knowledge of magic is underground. The Seelie Court has to pay taxes to demons,
which
are
also humans.
Underground.
The taxes are humans.
Yeah, humans are tax. So we were supposing that this was in order to continue access to magic, which I think is like an actual folklore canon, like real world folklore canon about the fairy ties, is that it's...
To use magic.
Right.
You're saying magic comes from the underground countries.
Now.
Yeah, it's
kind of stored there. That's where the rest
of it is. Oh, interesting.
Because the stuff above ground is gone.
Yeah, whatever was left of it.
Yeah, okay.
It's fossil fuels, is what I'm saying.
You got to mine for it, or
I'd say
pay
this,
humans for it.
This story takes place pretty late in the canon. Like,
yes,
there doesn't seem to be a lot of magic around. They're willing to go to great lengths for a couple of these pearls, which have the effect of no lightning and no snake venom,
and glow.
So, like, minimum
glow is enough.
Minimal usefulness.
I don't know, way back in myth times, like, basically a flashlight or just like a little like glowy thing at night, that's a light source that never goes out.
And it saves you a slot,
a yeah. hand slot,
a spell slot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wear it around your neck. You got your hands free.
The dragons also seem to be pretty quiet. Like, they seem to be enjoying just a chill retirement. They don't pose that much of a threat, notwithstanding.
They're just bathing in their own mist and jello.
Yeah, eating rice jello. The dragon princess seems fine.
You did mention that there was ancestry of fighting dragons.
Right, and that all happened like thousands of years beforehand.
Clearly these dragons are not fighting anyone anymore.
Right, they're just kind of trying to chill in their Jell-O kingdom.
Is Jell-O magic? Is that the takeaway?
Rice Jell-O?
It's pretty good.
It's fairly magical. Jiggles and it melts in your mouth.
I've heard it's alive. I don't know if that's true or not.
Jell-O?
Yeah.
It is sentient, yes.
Like little flubber kids.
It's a crime to eat it, but it tastes so good.
But damn it, it's so good.
It's so good that
we
ignore that.
Not unfamiliar with the act of crime.
Yeah. Yeah, you're basically eating a flubber. A sentient flubber.
I think the obvious fix to this story is to, like, actually follow the messengers and add some action anywhere.
Consequences?
Put some fight scenes in there. Make them chase each other around.
Maybe they fight each other for the pearls.
The pearls get stolen for a little bit, and they gotta do a heist to get them back.
I do love this, this dumb emperor who, like, when the wise man goes through the equipment that these guys need for their quest and they don't have it, and the emperor's just like, oh no, what now?
I really want those pearls.
I just love his, like, man baby sort of personality. And then when he gets the stuff, he's like, look, random servant, drop the laundry. Come look at this. And then all of his servants are so fed up with it that they're not just like, whatever you say, emperor, but they're more like, this guy's full of shit. Prove it. Prove it. Grab a live crane. Prove it. It's just a poorly run office is what this story is.
Is it? It seems to function. We just don't understand it. Like, from the outside looking in, it looks like chaos, but it's really a smooth running ship.
I guess.
Everything went right. There were no problems.
I guess.
We just think it all looks bogus. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like it's taped together, but it runs.
There are things happening, like, under the hood, so to speak. we just don't see a lot of it. Yeah, I think it's just, like, restructuring.
Check engine light might be on, but that thing's still running.
Still going for now. Till one day. I don't know. Why? How'd the dragons get there? Why are the pearls even?
Do they make the pearls, or do they just steal them?
Do they
from
make
cranes?
Them in their mouths or butts or something?
Do serpents make pearls? Do cranes make pearls? Are crane pearls just eggs? And is that going to hatch into a crane?
Those are eggs. Yes.
Snakes, like, lay eggs too. Maybe they just got a bunch of eggs. And it's this eggs. Is a long con.
It's eggs. It's just eggs. Glowy, like, glowy, nice eggs that you might be able to wish on and stuff, but they are just eggs.
You can wish on anything.
Here's the thing. If I was going to get something that I could wish on, it might as well, like, if I have the option to make it edible, why not?
We can go wish on Jell-O after we're done recording this.
Like, why not say, like, I don't know, I have this thing around, I might wish on it, I might eat it. I could do either one.
We wish on flaming balls of gas, we wish on a random bone from a turkey, we wish on all kinds of bullshit. Wish on whatever you want, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, there's no special rules for wishes. You can do it whenever, like, you don't have to wait until 11:11.
Yeah.
Do whenever.
You can wish on an eyelash. And if you can wish on a fucking eyelash, you can wish on this microphone. Whatever. No rules.
Because there's eyelashes in it?
Probably.
So there's gunk in there for sure.
That's what gets the sound all good. Like how eyelashes capture dust on the way to your eyes, they also capture sound on the way to a microphone.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of saliva in there.
Do we do a lot of spitting while we talk?
No, but I mean, it just accumulates.
We have our pop screen. That's got to cover a lot of it.
Well, a pop
You'd be
screen.
Surprised.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm saying you could probably clone someone off of one of these.
Our DNA evidence is all over this.
It might be a microphone hybrid human.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be fully human and fully conscious. It will have some microphone powers, whatever that superhero looks like. Who does superheroes now that Stan Lee is gone? Rest in peace.
Who does superheroes?
Yeah, who makes the superheroes now? People make new ones?
No, not really. They kind of just do the old ones.
Are there no new superheroes?
If they can help it, they're going to make it an old one.
Since, like, Static Shock and Batman Beyond?
They'll take a new character and make it an old superhero.
Let's make some new ones.
Okay.
We did all the
Yonder
movies.
Yonder Toad.
Yes, for sure, Yonder Toad. We did all the movies about the Marvel boys and girls.
All
and,
of them.
And non-binary superheroes.
I don't think we did any of those.
However
Marvel
many,
keeps teasing it, but...
I don't even know if there are any.
I assume there are.
Presumably somewhere. I don't know who they are because I don't know that much about it. My point is, we did all the Marvel. We did all the DC.
It's Yonder Toad's turn.
What's the new ones? Yonder Toad?
What is our comic label called?
Croak.
Piss Kids. Super Piss Kids.
You know what I mean, right? Like, that's not the team of... I'm not asking for the team of superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
You're asking what our Marvel is.
Yeah, the next Comic-Con, the panels are Marvel, DC, and Piss Kids.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, so far our comic lineup is is a frog, which is always far away, or a toad. They are again
very easy to draw.
Again, they are interchangeable. Frogs and toads, same thing.
One of his nemeses, which is a toad that is very close up in the folds of your clothing
and everywhere at once. And then we also have some kind of human microphone hybrid, the powers of which I'm pretty loose on. Like, what would that even be other than maybe hearing?
Kind of, sometimes sounds bad and we're not sure why.
Yeah, occasionally
can curse you.
Occasionally the sound coming out of it is just not good.
Maybe it plays the voices of people back at them, and they get really embarrassed from hearing their own voices recorded.
He's a recording man, too.
Yeah. We also have our good nemesis to Yonder Toad, Dr. Quack Frog.
Dr. Quack Frog is in the mix.
Dr. Quack Frog is a wandering snake oil salesman from Aesop's Fables. It just comes out of the swamp of swindling people.
Wears two monocles.
Has a collection of ointments to solve problems.
It looks like glasses, but they're not connected in the middle.
If you want full Dr. Quack Frog, that is behind a paywall.
we just wanted to introduce it to the canon so that...
Yeah, it's now in the canon, so we can do other things, but you don't get the origin for free.
All right, well, there's nothing else we can do to fix this story other than rewrite it entirely.
Well, I think you spoke too soon, because I also have my famous segment, Big Big Rock.
Oh, right.
And as long as we're stealing jingles from other places, mine goes, big, 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 big rock.
What's that from?
Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Could have been Tool Time.
Because Tyler has had face on his mind for a long time.
You put a big rock in the hole where people keep falling down to Underground Town, so we stop bothering dragons.
Yep, plug it up.
Leave dragons alone. You're not entitled to those pearls because you're an emperor and you killed a lot of birds.
Dragons are tired. Let them have jello. Big rock. TM.
Big rock TM. Do we need to talk about big hedge or moss or lichen or whatever it was?
I think they would work in tandem.
In this case.
You build a hedge maze and it leads to a big rock that covers a hole that used to be an interesting end to the hedge maze.
And the rock is covered in moss, so it looks like it's been there a really long time, so you don't bother trying to move it.
There you go.
Story solved. So thank you, Tally, for sending this one in.
And successful boat watch prediction by the skin of my teeth.
This is the one time you were hoping that the word boat was never actually uttered.
Because technically... it wasn't actually mentioned.
That's true.
Just heavily implied.
Now, going in the other way, if you had predicted yes, you would have argued, like, tooth and nail.
Of course.
I mean, it doesn't...
It is an implied
that's
yes
That's semantics,
vote.
Though.
That's semantics. It's also hypothetical. Nobody can prove anything.
Right.
Thank you, Tally, for suggesting the story to us.
Thank you, Tally. Thank you, Chrissy, for sponsoring.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you to everybody who's been tweeting about the show, like Donut Shoes, like Aster Smythe. Again, thank you for pointing out the bear word thing. Thank you, Trisha Voda. Thank you, Imperfectionist. If you would like to tweet about us, that'd be really great. You can use the WT Folklore hashtag. If you want to, otherwise, do tell somebody about it. That helps us grow, and that's really great. Then we can do more stuff.
Thank you all for tweeting.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping our lives very exciting and fun, and for being just a lovely, healthy corner of the internet to dive into. And thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Allie, Crimson, E.C. McGregor, Nathan the Scott, Yahweh Yowie, Letitia, April, Casey, Denizen of the Punk Rock Candy Mountain, Nell with a K, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Hi Liztis of Wimbus, Grace, Daughter Wimbus, Cherry Man equals Quartermaster, Jeremiah, I'm sorry, Tyler, I didn't mean to ignore your butt, it is also nice, Haley, It Finally Happened, Tim has eyeglasses now as foretold by prophecy, Dominic, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, Heather.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I wasn't bothered. I knew.
Tyler has great butt confidence. And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Sometimes I listen back and I do kind of get tripped up by how much it sounds like a church in here.
It does.
Just the monotone delivery of your thanks. Uh-huh. What I'm saying is give it a little more zest.
Okay.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Is that better or worse?
It's better.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Piss Kids.
Thank you, Piss Kids.
Thank you, I forget all the names of the Pearls.
Thank you, Pearl Stats.
Thank you, Pearl Stats.
Thank you, Pearl Stats.
Thank you, Pearl Jam, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good one. MacCready's a good guitar player.
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Rice Jello.
Thank you, Icker Jello.
Thank you, Icker Jello.
Thank you, all Jellos. Just Jello, thank you.
Thank you, Jellos.
Thank you for what you do.
Various Jellos of the world.
Well, we're What the Folklore, and that's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.